God would know in every way, Lord, glorify you, and no way, Lord, take away from what your glorious power can do. Lord, let it be a sermon, Lord God, that helps us understand more clearly how to move towards you, Lord God, and how you're moving your power towards us. I ask you, Lord, to bless us and to help us, Lord, as we go through this talk. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, tonight I my wife said, you're doing nothing but yapping all the time. I just say, it's a tablet. It's shocking, like. But I had a DVD, a wee clip to do tonight here, and the clip, if any of you were about in the 1980s, Christian circles, a guy called Benny Hinn. Isn't it Benny Hinn? He was big. And he was a sort of evangelical, but a kind of, you know, we could make that pot fall over with the power of Jesus. So you could just, he was just knocking people out with this supposed power that he was wielding. And he was very found to be a bit of a fraud and quite abusive in the way that he treated the Word of God. And in many ways, it's kind of what I wanted to try and draw out tonight to show in this series of talks that we're going through, that how we approach God, that we did a series on, and then you know, and how we deal with God when he comes to us, and then how we follow God. It's very important that we don't misuse what God has given us, and that we use it rightly. And it's sort of something that Christian circles don't do very well. We kind of abuse a lot of what God has given us. So I'm trying to put this across tonight, because I'm going to be speaking on a couple of Sunday nights. Tally's been very kind to me. Let me do the Sunday nights for a while and not have to worry too much about the heaviness of a Sunday morning. So you'll be getting me for a few Sunday nights, and hopefully I'll be able to follow this up then as we go. So keeping a theme in our theme of following God ain't all doom and gloom, we've decided to use the first five Sundays in July and the four Wednesday nights to look at the issue of suffering and sickness, and to once again see how asking the Lord God to show us his glory in healing. I'm going to read here from Isaiah 53 tonight, and it's a very well-known passage, verses 1 to 6. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Very well known passage of scripture from Isaiah. Now, the prophet Isaiah is one of my favourite prophets of the Old Testament. I got very excited when I realised we were going to read on Isaiah. And, you know, if you want to look at prophecy in the Old Bible, in the Bible, a lot of people talk about, oh, just go straight to Revelation. The Old Prophet, the prophets and the book of Daniel are probably where you're going to find most of the interesting stuff to come. That aside, in this portion of scripture, Isaiah foretells many times of the coming Messiah throughout his book, and what he's going to do for the people. Passage tonight is like a news story that has suddenly been revealed, and one that many will not believe. It's like a breaking news flash. I was thinking it's like, you know, Donald Trump's fake news. You know what he calls everything fake news? You know, something's going to come out here. It's quite traumatic. This is what's going to happen. This is what he's going to be like. It's going to be such a wonderful truth. Many will not believe him. The report by Isaiah begins by telling us about the coming Messiah and what he shall be like. This is the arm of the Lord, the Messiah of God, that he has been promised. But this report is not being believed by many. But why? The thing about it is, the first point is he comes onto the scene in a quiet and unassuming way, hardly noticed. He has no extraordinary beauty or attractiveness that would draw people to him. There's nothing about this Messiah that's going to draw people to him. And finally, he was rejected because he takes onto himself the pain and suffering of the world. This is an extraordinary man. Of course, we know that it is Jesus. Beyond this, Isaiah saw a man that was coming into the world to suffer and to die, not for himself, but for us. We would find it strange that someone would want to suffer instead of us. And how often do we wish we could do this for others? Just thinking about this during the week. Imagine the pain of a father watching his young child suffering from an illness and wishing that he could bear it instead of him or her. Imagine a young child that has something severely wrong with him and suddenly has come on him, and the father would pray or wish that he could take that suffering instead of watching his child suffer. How about a wife who is suffering and the husband doing all he can to help her, but wishing in deep inside that he indeed could do something and take her place? When someone is suffering, we all sometimes wish that we could bear their pain. When we look at Jesus, we don't, as believers, see his suffering as a direct result from God the Father choosing to punish him for some sin that he has committed, because of course we know Jesus was blameless, that he had never sinned. We know as believers that he came to the earth and committed no sin. He suffered alone and bore my sin alone on the cross at Calvary. Can you imagine how that must have felt? And I tried to picture this in my head this week, how it must have felt when you were suffering and dying alone on the cross at Calvary, bearing the sin of this world. Think about Jesus. He couldn't explain or try to tell others about the sin and the grief that he alone must have carried. He couldn't shout it out from the rooftops. He couldn't shout it to the people that were always with him, because they wouldn't have understood. The unbelieving world would not have understood what he had to do. He suffered alone and in silence, like a sheep before its shears. Not only this, but he is a servant, a person who came to take my place and bear my transgressions and my iniquities. Many, including the Jewish rabbis, have tried to read this. This passage of scripture for the Jewish rabbis is a real problem for them. They try and take it and substitute it with it being Israel, or with it being Moses or some other prophet. It cannot be this man, Jesus, the Messiah. They struggle with it. And if you ever have an opportunity to challenge a Jewish rabbi, this is the passage to challenge them on. The imagery of what we have read on this passage is obviously portraying the death of Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, well known, well used by many Christians. He was nailed to the cross for a sin that he did not commit. But he was nailed for our sin and our guilt. He was prepared to take our place on the cross. Here's the verse that's used so many times by Christians that it's hard to number. And by his stripes we are healed. These stripes were ministered by whipping the bare back of prisoners. Their hands and their feet were bound, and they were rendered helpless. The phrase, by his stripes we are healed, refers to the punishment Jesus received. The punishment, the floggings and the beatings, the fists that were used against him, the agonizing death that he was to take. He was to take the death alone, and a death tied hands and feet. The whips used against him were leather. They were braided with pottery, shards, sharp stones, and when they would hit the back, it would pull the flesh cruelly from the body. When we picture this terrible, inhumane form of physical punishment and abuse, we can only think of the horror. And then many, thinking about by his stripes we are healed, are thinking of this physical beating that he is taking. The word healed here is translated in both the Greek and the Hebrew, meaning either spiritual or physical healing. However, in my study here, the context of Isaiah 53 makes it clear that they were referring to the spiritual healing, not the physical. Many in the charismatic church movement try to take this particular verse that I've said and use it to try and bring healing into a person's life. They nearly try to use it as a proof that physical healing is inherent because of this atoning punishment that Jesus had to bear. Some claim that the whipping and the tearing of his flesh is now just use for us to say, look, because Jesus took this pain, because he took this punishment, I have a right to be healed of my sickness and my disease. I claim this because of this point. People suggest that healing is your right because Jesus paid the price for it. Many declare that because of this, they can be healed in the name of Jesus. And I dare say this, in this view, in the context I'm looking at tonight, is not a right view. Many preach that We need to claim healing as a right, as it's already been provided. And again, I personally don't accept this totally tonight. Now, you've got to bear with me. If you think I'm being a bit harsh here, I do turn this around. This would be cruel to inflict upon any Christian with cancer who sought healing and ended up dying with the death of cancer. This would be like going to somebody who's a Christian in a wheelchair and saying, because of his stripes, because he was wounded, you're going to walk again. And you're going to keep saying that to the person until you suddenly realize that that person is never going to walk again. And what you have done is you've suggested, because of Jesus' physical punishment upon the cross at this point, that he's guaranteed physical healing that moment. It brings about more than just suffering in the mental sense. It begins to hurt in the spiritual sense. This is in many ways why a believer struggling with sickness who is not being healed by God the Father feels that God is ignoring him or refusing him or maybe powerless to act at all. Got to hit the reality here. Christians die too. Christians get sick too. And people have to suffer as well. In the early church, the disciples got ill on occasions, were close to death. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. And it doesn't mean that they weren't going to be healed. But sickness comes amongst Christians as well. This said, and what I've said so far, I do believe in the power of Jesus to heal anyone at any time. But it doesn't rely on man's abusive use of Scripture and using it in the most inappropriate of ways. So what am I saying about the verse, by his stripes we are healed? What does it really mean? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter says this, he himself bore our sins on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The verse here is referring to sin and righteousness, not sickness and disease. Therefore, in the short passage that we've looked at in Isaiah, we are looking at being healed, first of all, in the spiritual sense. In both verses, speaking of being forgiven and saved, not being physically healed. This is what I'm saying. I've got a few weeks to do, so I'll be moving this forward. Hopefully, you won't be stoning me on the way out tonight. Many might remember the verse, by his stripes were healed, being used for the Pray for Josh campaign. Big campaign. Young boy dying for cancer. I always remember seeing it in the back of cars and praying actually when I seen it. And I know, even though he died from his cancer, he believed Jesus as his Savior. He may have died from a disease, but he will not have died, because of course we know that he went on to eternity. Because of the disease, the sin and the death had no grip over him. And this is bringing me back to my point. This is the sickness and the disease that Isaiah is alluding to in this verse. And the one that every person on this planet currently suffers from. And that's the disease of sin. There is no cure from a bottle. There is no prescription from a doctor that is going to heal it. The only cure for sin is to believe in Jesus as your Savior. The only one who died for you and took your place in Calvary. Brings me back to what I'm trying to say. When we consider a person that is dying, say from cancer, our prayers from that person from that moment. So if you've got cancer, it's at early stages, we're praying that God will heal you. Of course, as the stages move on, and maybe that person's cancer gets worse and worse, and we know that they're not going to survive, your prayers change to, Lord, save that person if they're an unbeliever. What I'm trying to say is we should be flipping those prayers. The prayer should be, first of all, Lord, save the person above all. The important disease that we need to be saved from or healed from is the disease of sin and death. That is primary root of everything that's going on. So when we meet someone, and when I met my uncle, he was dying of cancer, I didn't go in and say, I'm going to pray for you that God is going to heal you from that cancer, because I knew you had weeks left. My prayers were, God, please save this man, a sinner. I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago, up in Roselawn, and I walked in, and you look up to see that your guys, your next person's up, or when you're in, and the one before my guy, Felix, was a baby. It was called Baby Max. Nearly brought a tear to my eye. But there was a disease or an illness that baby had that his parents couldn't do anything about, that the doctors couldn't do anything. Whatever the point or the purpose was, there was nothing that could be done. And I'm sure those parents would have done anything to have that baby live to this day. But there was nothing, obviously, that could have been done. When we look at the situation with Josh, who was a Christian, and his father's over there in Elam, and they're praying for him, and they're putting up, by his stripes he is healed. And I believe that. You've got to believe that it's by his wounds that we are healed in the getting your salvation, being saved onto eternity. Tonight you might be thinking that I have somehow limited the healing power of Jesus. And in fact, I'm trying to do the opposite. Maybe you think that it's the point of coming to prayer is pointless. All that I've said so far is making this pointless. What I am saying is that the beginning, the healing in Jesus begins with the spiritual healing that takes place. The healing power in the name of Jesus we see over the next few weeks. And I know Jesus did some wonderful, wonderful saving acts of grace. I know the miracles that Jesus done. I know them off by heart because I preached on them 7-8 years ago. But I'm not going to stand here and quote scripture. I'm not going to say, walk around this hall tonight and start screaming scripture into the sky and saying, you know, by the stripes you're healed, and because of this you're healed, and start trying to push over, because I think that isn't appropriate. In fact, I think that is very, very wrong. I want to begin to pray for the lives of those people who are sick tonight in the right and the appropriate manner. I will continue to pray to a Saviour who I believe will heal people. But I will do it through the Spirit of God, and I will do it in His power alone. I will not be taking any credit for anybody who's getting healed. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that these things will happen. When we pray for God to move in a person's life, we have to do it in a way that God has shown us. And the title that Taddy has given us has been very appropriate. We should be praying for everything always to be given to the glory of God. That is primary in anything that we are doing. Any healing that we are doing should be to the glory of God. And in fact, if you look at some of the healings that Jesus did, you'll see that the glory is given to God. The glory goes to God in every circumstance and according to His will. To attach as many do in the name of Jesus or some verse that they know of by heart really doesn't cut the mustard. It doesn't really do anything from my point of view. Everything must be done in God's will. Let us tonight then take it, grasp what we've heard so far, and realize that God can move at any time and heal anyone or any believer at any time. However, as believers, we are healed by His stripes. I believe that. But that is because our sins are forgiven and death has no longer a hold over us. Don't get me wrong, we can still be healed by His stripes in a physical sense. But that is not what I believe this was saying. As we move forward then in our series, let us begin to understand how God will move in the lives of people and how He will lead and how He will heal them. If anyone here tonight needs prayer, I'm sure you're going to run to me first of all. Or seeks for God to move in their lives, I'm happy to pray for them, so is Taddy. And I know that we're going to go into a period of prayer now to see how God is going to move and to see what He is going to do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your word once more, and I thank You, Lord God, that, Lord, the people who come to You and seek healing in the sense, in the spiritual sense, of for their sins to be forgiven, Lord God, to have the opportunity to live with You for eternity, Lord, I understand that. And I know, Lord God, that is a primary in everything that we ever want to see in here, that we want to see men and women saved. Lord, let that be what we always want. But Lord, when it comes to people in here who are sick and suffering, Lord God, we want to see You also move in their lives. I ask You, Lord, that we be a church that would see the power of God moving, the Spirit of God moving in the lives of people who are ill or struggling. And I ask You, Lord God, by Your power, many would be healed, but it would all be to Your glory. And that everything we do in here, Lord God, would be to Your glory and Your glory alone. I ask You, Lord, tonight that You would prompt us as we pray. Help us, Lord God, to understand that You're a God who wants to see Your people healed. That You want to see Your people, Lord God, once again being able to stand in a body in full health. And I ask You, Lord, that would take place. I ask you, Lord God, to guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, again, there is no formula for what we're doing here tonight. We're simply looking for